Tav Gimel Shvat, holding in Siman Samech Beis Alecha Dalet to Siman Yud Dalet. We're continuing with all the laws of business transaction, as we mentioned, Chazal tell us. So we're going, this is the first question we're going to be asked. So that's why it's so important to learn these halachas and also to know that many times there's details, special exceptional details, and therefore one should ask a shayla. So let's continue with the laws of Aina. Person can sell something and try to beautify it and make it look externally beautiful, and really inside it's not as good as it looks. So of course, if a person wants to paint an old car and it's good, it's an old car, it's not a problem. It's when a person is purposely trying to be deceitful. As the kids, as an example, they used to blow up they used to feed an animal with bloated with bran, brought the bran to drink it, and what would it do? It would cause the animal to be bloated and the hair to stand, and it would look very fat. Okay, you probably did not know that, but that's a trick. Also, a person is not allowed to mix in bad fruits with a lot of good fruits in order to sell them, assuming that this way, this is again being using deceit in order to get someone to think, oh, these are all good, and really they aren't. Same thing as when it comes to mixing a liquid, something bad in the liquid, even if the taste will be recognizable. That, meaning according to the kids, if the taste is recognizable, so you're allowed to mix it, because why? Because the buyer is going to identify it right away, nobody's buying. But that too has to be, one has to be careful. Because sometimes a person is relying on the buyer doing assessing that, and he may not realize that it's taka, a negative taste, and he's really being deceived. So that's another example where a person should be careful before they are using this leniency of mixing something that's going to be negative, based on the assumption of the person knowing what he's buying. Another very common shaila is buying is where chenvani, I mean the storekeeper, or let's say pizza shop. Remember, this is not an uncommon case. Pizza shop opens up a store and is giving out clothes and goods, and he's trying to give to pull new customers and children to come. So the halacha is a wheat pask, and you're allowed to do so. That means you're allowed to give out ice cream cones in order to encourage people to come to your store. You could even sell on a lower price from the marketplace in order to encourage people to come and buy. And the people in the shul cannot stop the person. Now, this, if you look in Choshen, Mishpasim Kufnun Vav, and the Pischa Tshuva, very long Pischa Tshuva, if you have time, it's good to go. You see the history of so many interesting shailas that took place, neighborhoods, the famous argument between two sellers of Yayin Shechar, they were selling beer, and all these different types of examples. And therefore, Ein Chadash Tachas seems to be so careful, because although it seems that it's Pashat, but it's not. Why is that? Because a person has to know they can't be Pesach L'chiyuse D'chavu, which means a person can't put someone out of business. So really it requires A, to be so honest, B, to ask a Shaila by the Rabbanim or the assessor to really make sure that it's safe. Not only that, the person can say that you're not allowed to, you can encourage people to come, but you're not allowed to try to steal already existing customers from a different store. So that becomes also very tricky. If they come to you, if you look at Pesach Tshuva, because Chasan Sefer and other places, then it's not really a problem. But again, still, a person has to be careful. That person can destroy another person's panasa, and it's certainly not worth it. The Kisut continues, when it comes to being honest, if a person is selling something to his friend, even to a non-Jew, and he is weighing less than what he's supposed to give for the money that was paid, this applies even to a non-Jew. Sometimes people have this concept that I could steal from a non-Jew. It's really rare, and there's a machlokes rishonim exactly what the situation even is. And they certainly, you see here, one is not allowed to cheat a non-Jew, so you have to be so careful. And it's a lav. It says, don't be crooked when it comes to midah, mishkal, mesul, these different types of measurements. And the punishment as a kid to present based on Chazal is extremely is heavy. Why is it very, very serious? Because it's one of those things that are difficult to do tshuva. A person is selling in a store, right, false items, or he's selling less than what he's supposed to, he's giving, using weights that are not honest, and he's stealing from people. How's he ever going to do tshuva? How's he going to ever repay them? So although there's a concept that the kitzur says that he should do what's called tzorchei rabim, do something for the public, whether it's building a mikveh or something to that degree, because then everyone is enjoying it, so really giving back. But still, it's not called a tshuva haguna. It's not the best tshuva because it's not complete. Next, the Kitzur teaches us a very interesting drasha. The pasuk says, "Lo yeh bechischa even va'aven b'dayel v'knei." You should have in your pocket stones, a big stone and a small stone, and you also should not have an efa ve'efa g'dayel v'ktana. Now, then the pasuk says, in the positive way, you should have a complete stone and a complete efa, which is a certain measurement. And the word bechischa in your pocket and in your house seem to be extra. So Chazal said, very interesting drasha. Maseches Babasa da peites, lo yeh lecha bechischa mamon. That means to say, if a person wants to know what's going to be the cause of why he doesn't have money, shum evan vam, because he has dishonest stones. And lo yeh bevescha, why is it that a person may not have what he needs at home? Is because mishum efa veifa. Why? Because his measurement is not honest, and it's causing him to lose his panasa. However, the positive is also true. Even shlemavat said the bevescha, meaning to say, you want money by having an honest, acting honestly, and using the honest stones and weights. Well, is a segula, is the guarantee for having parnasa, and also what the needs of the person has to have in his house. And Chazal say, what should a person do to become rich? Yisavit and ben. When Chazal say, first of all, the first step is be honest, and then vivakish rachmi b'shar sheshaloi, ask for wealth from, ask rachmi, ask compassion from the one that is in charge of the world, because at the end of the day, it's everything is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you want to become rich, liyakesev lizav, ask Hashem, and be honest with your weights. Tzorich limdoi, the Kitzur teaches us a person has to make sure that he's weighing ayin yofa. What does ayin yofa mean? You have to give some extra. She oidef alamida. And the reason why, it's based on the Chazal. So it's not just being nice. Chazal say, if Hashlemu v'tzedek yilach, when it says the word vatzedek, righteous, Torah says tzedek mishachavatim, that means to go beyond your letter of the law and give a little bit extra to make sure that you're really giving the amount that this person is required to get. And since it's impossible basically for weighing to be exactly precise, so the seller basically has to act justly with righteousness and give a little bit extra. Fascinating chiddush. Chazal say, Tzorich Limda, the Kitzur says, Tzorich Limda et Kemina Gamedina. Person has to measure according to the laws of the country, and you shouldn't change for them. So, for example, if it's a place where the pile up, Ligdash means to pile up, so a person should not be exact. And if even if it's the desire of the buyer, because he gave him less money, it's not a good idea. Why? Because that it will cause other people to make this mistake. So, you have to be very careful to follow the rules of the Medina when it comes to how you fill up a cup, even if it's agreed upon between the buyer and the seller. And the same thing is, if it's a place where they're exact, you shouldn't even pile up. You would think, okay, I'm being a tzaddik. No, don't overflow the cup. Even if the seller is agreeing because he's adding in more money, because the Torah was makbid about ivu samidas, to be crooked when it comes to measurement, and we're worried that it's going to cause a takala, it's going to cause a stumbling block for other people. They're going to see, they're going to have their measurement, they're going to think that that's what you're supposed to do, and you're going to do it to someone else, and he's going against the minigun. It's going to cause people to make mistakes, and that's, you have to stick to the laws of the Medina. Kitzur teaches us a person has to make chazak, communities really have to make sure, and this is brought down Shulchan Aruch, that the Rosh Hashanah call people that are in charge of the community to make sure that they go around the stores and they assess that people really are keeping to the laws of measurements. And if they see that someone has a midah chaser or a type of measurement that's missing, the halacha is that they could hit him, they could penalize him according to the way they see. I don't think you'll be able to do that today, but certainly it's something that the community has to do to make sure that there's, that the stores are living up to what they claim they are doing. Next, the Kitzur teaches that if a person is not allowed to have in his house, in his home, a midah chasera, that means you can't keep in your house a measurement, a type of weight, whether it's in your house or in your store, even though you're not using it. And if a person keeps it, unbelievable, the person is over alav. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Lo yeh lecha bechischa even loving that we mentioned before. A person should not have eifa neva gedoy lektana. It should be even in the house, and even if he's going to make this midah into what's called avitim lektana, he can use it for urinating. So, no one would think that they're going to use this. It's still aser. Why is that? Because maybe someone that doesn't know is going to use it. However, if there's a minig in the city where in order to use something there's a mark, a very clear mark, a stamp of approval, etc., so then there's no concerns, no possibility. Then you're allowed to have such a thing in your house. someone that is trying to purchase something. And this is the famous sugya ma'ap, anya ma'apar b'charo. Anya ma'apar b'charo means to say when someone is trying to buy, purchase something, or even rent something. Ma'asim b'cholim, these things happen every day. A person is trying to purchase a house, a person is trying to purchase even items, metalton, movable objects, whether it's from a Jew or non-Jew. And they already agreed on the price. Hushvel adami means the key. They already agreed on the price. But right before they did the final acquisition, someone else came and bought it. That person, although it's true that he bought it, it's purchased by him, he's called a Rasha. And certainly it's not something that a person doesn't want to be called a Rasha. The smart shayach nuchash mishvah that they would announce it in public in shul. The Maise, the Kitzit says, if they didn't agree on a number, rather there's back and forth between the seller and the buyer. Someone else comes and buys it, then Allah is allowed to. On this, Ramoshe Zecher Tzadik Livrach, and the Tshuva writes, it's not so simple. He, Ramoshe, holds that if it's something so clear that if no one else is going to now enter into the pictures, the sale is going to go through, and the agreement is going to go through, so then a person is not allowed to enter. So therefore, a person should definitely ask the Shiloh before buying a house, even if they did not decide on the amount yet. Another interesting halacha is called Asagas Gvul. It's based on the pasuk Lesosu Gvul Recha. The pasuk pshat means that you're not allowed to move boundaries over and basically steal someone else's karka land. But this extends, the Kitzur says, Schir is bad when it comes to rentals, even rentals from a non-Jew. What does that mean? What is that referring to? For the person, let's say, is renting from a non-Jew, and now the lease is up, and then someone else comes and chaps that lease, and this person really, the first person really wanted to continue that lease. That's considered also hasagas gvul when it comes to schirus batim, rental houses. And lastly, someone gives money to his friend to buy him, to purchase him a house or a watch, for example, and the messenger goes and he buys it with his own money. So if he used the mishalech's money, the sender's money, well, so then he purchased it on behalf of the sender. But if he bought it with his own money, so the halacha is that he's considered that he bought it, and even though he's considered a rama, he's a deceitful person. He's a deceitful person, and of course that's not something that we want to be. So obviously for him to be able to purchase, he has to go back to the sender and says, I'd like to buy this. But if he pretends that he's going to buy it on behalf of someone else and he buys it for himself, he's considered a ramai. We definitely don't want to be like love and a ramai. Have a beautiful day.